Welcome to Starfleet Universe On-Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SCP Online, Fed.com Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind how to join us, we have a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us going to the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just go to that server and join the SFU On-Call stream voice channel, and you can join us there. If you want to, you can find the invite right there on the SFUOnCall.com website. And if you want to watch us live, you know, in living color, i.e. video, you can go to Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you'll find us there, and you'll be able to join the actual chat, you know, typing chat, and watch my wonderful face. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is SFUOnCall@gmail.com. It's SFUONCALL@gmail.com. If you want to follow me on the Twitters, you can follow me on the podcasting account, which is SFUOnCall, or my personal account, which is Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. And also, if you want to follow my business account, that's Franz Games, FRANZGAMES. And if you want to follow me on Blue Sky, what you can do is you can follow my accounts. I got sfuoncall.bsky.social. Also, we have the franzgames.com account, which is my personal slash business account. Moving onward and forward, of course, is a lovely talk cast. Get to the podcast, it's available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. News from ADV this week, they actually had some progress on K module. Also, they worked on the F&E Civil War some more. Albert also started working on Acta 3. And also heard great news from moi, which is Star Armada Rumors of War is done. The only thing they're waiting for right now is waiting for the cover of the actual physical book. So that's going to be interesting to see how that all turns out. And of course, they're working on a contract for the new 3D print vendor. So hopefully we'll see that come soon. As soon as that comes, I know there's a lot of people going to be very, very excited about they'll now get new miniatures made. And also they're working on another 3D line of products. Moving onward to the found on the online store this week, we have F&E Countersheet Alpha. That's only $8.95. This is a new production sheet from October 2009, designed for use for the 2010 edition of F&E. It's the same half-inch counters, but reorganized, no more carrier groups counters, and expanded from 216 counters to 280 counters. So if you want to update your counter sheets, you know, if you've been playing F&E for this long, or for very long, that you can easily do that. Moving on and forward, we have SCP Online tournaments. We have, of course, Sapphire Star 19 tournament, which is got the first round one game completed. They actually got done in 27 minutes, which was Peter Bakia versus, I forget who it was, but basically the Gorn came in, got within range 5 of the win, and did lots of damage. And, you know, including bolting all 4 plasmas, which actually hit. Fortunately, he got the rolls he needed when he needed those rolls. And at that point, the win decided to concede at that point. When it comes to 500 BP free tournament, unfortunately, I didn't get into this one because by the time I actually talked to you about it last week, I needed to be already put mine in. Because I was going to put mine in like on Saturday. Well, Saturday, Jeff sent an email saying, hey, we got all the players we want. And then started, here's the matchups. Like, okay, so I'm out. So the matchups are going to be Madman and the Lyran versus Neon Pico. That's like, it's Matt Potter in the Hydran. We have Vandar playing the Vudar. That's going to be interesting. Versus Mighty Mouse. And it's going to fly the Klingon. Again, that's going to be a very interesting matchup. Spartan, you know, Jeff himself, is going to be the playing the Romulans, and Liberian 101, that's Eddie Crutchfield. He's in the Fed. It got Frank LeMay, Prince, and that's going to be also Majid Farsi. They're going to be playing it together. Got an XO for him in the Gorn, and got Metal Dog by Justin. Is going to be playing in the Fed again. My only question about Justin is he going to use a different set of ships, or is he going to stick with what he got? Because actually he had a pretty good fleet, but you know, that's one thing we have not seen yet. They actually have not announced the actual ships. I'm hoping they'll keep continuing to send out the emails, and I'm hoping. I actually might contact Jeff about this and see if he could actually post it on the discussion board, so it could be more broader in scope when it comes to people, you know, seeing what's going on in the tournament. When it comes to online client stuff, there's actually nothing happening there at the moment. I did update the rollers. I have not added the Q random IO yet. I possibly might work on that this weekend. There's some stuff I have to get done for church. And hopefully I can, because I think that at the moment that takes a priority, because they're having like a ministry thing, a ministry weekend, where the idea is that you pitch your ministry to people and say, hey, do you want to join us in this ministry? And I have to create like a flyer for it. Moving onward and forward, we have the Starfleet Warlord for this week. As I mentioned last week, standard game number 97 is complete. I'm going to be starting up a new one probably another 2 weeks. I'm going to look at some of the suggestions for standard games I have in my inbox and maybe add some of the suggestions to the next game. If you want to play in the standard game and you're already signed up for Starfleet Warlord, please feel free to email me at warlord@playbyemail.com. You know how to spell it. With all the dashes and all. And continue on there. When it comes to Daiho 58 and 59, they're going well. Actually, 59, all the players are still in the game. None of them have been knocked out. They have one player that actually left due to real life issues. Basically, he got too busy to actually play in the game. It's always sad to see someone have to leave because of real life issues. But, you know, the people have lives, you know. And Daiho 58 is still going strong. Get 9 players left out of like 14. So it's still quite strong of a fleet. If I recall correctly, that one's year Y-185 is completed. So we'll hopefully see that. Actually, that won't be completed until Y-200 because it was a plus 5-year shift. So that means that it started Y-170, 30 turns, because Die Hard is a 30-turn game, a fixed 30-turn game. Who can do the best in 30 turns? And so we've done a 200. Die Hard 58? 59. 59 is actually Y-165, if I call it correctly, as a starting year. When it comes to library report, no progress there. I know Frank's bugging me about some of the things that he'd done that he sent me. I just had not a chance to integrate them in. And same for FedCom, no update there. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, yes, the one all Pawfuns, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And that's me.
Hi, me.
Thank you. Okay. Don't mind me. I'm just. Hopefully, I can. Oh, live? Is that where I go? There, that's better. Okay. Got things going. Cool. Topics for tonight is going to be interesting because I have none at the moment. We'll figure out something. Don't worry. We'll figure out something because normally we do. And for anyone who's watching, yes, those are my over to my well, my left, possibly your right, are my bows. I've got currently actually got three that I'm keeping. I've got a, geez, I got a collection down the basement at the moment that I want to get rid of, because I realize I have way too much archery stuff, and some of those are bows which I will probably never ever use. I got two sets of ILF limbs and two risers, ILF risers, and I got a Sage, and I got an old bow which I don't expect anyone ever to take, because they no longer make that bow. So the funny part about that bow, I forget the name of it. Basically, it was one of the first times that this one, a manufacturer, made a recurve. Usually they make only compound bows, and they had this recurve. So I wanted to shoot recurve, and that's the only thing that this one dealer had that was recurve. So I got the recurve. And I wanted to get, you know, limbs which are relatively soft, you know, not that powerful. The idea is that when you're beginning, it's better to get like a lightweight poundage, you know, like 20 pounds, and use that for training so that you get your form correct and all that kind of thing. And I went through two sets of these 20-pound bow, 20-pound limbs for this one bow. It's like I realized after the second time, it's like, okay, no, they just don't know how to manufacture these limbs, because they kept on cracking. They never broke completely, but they kept cracking, and it's like, no, this is not. I should not be using this bow. Even as a beginner, I knew that I should not be using this. The next time I reordered from Lancaster Archery, I got a heavier weight limb to replace it, and that one actually is been perfectly fine, you know, since I bought it. So as I said, I feel like they just didn't know how to make lighter weight poundage limbs. But anyhow, actually, the funny thing is, I was going to discuss the 500 BPV tournament, because guess what? I was unable to join it, because what happened was that Jeff announced the matchups on Saturday. And I'm going, what? I thought he was going to do it on Monday. So I was hoping to get in my fleet on Saturday so I could actually join the tournament. And nope. So I'm not in the tournament, though I might be. You never know.
Did you miss the super secret squirrel deadline?
Yeah, that's what it seems like I did. Because the thing is, he didn't give a deadline, to my understanding. Let me just do that real quick. Let me go back.
The deadline's in my head. Don't you see it right over there on the left on the inside?
Yeah.
I feel for you on that one.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, he didn't give. Okay, wait. Oh, okay. I was wrong. He actually did have a deadline of last Thursday.
Ah, you just missed it.
I just missed it. Well, here's the funny part, and I don't know if he'll let me in anyway. Let me get.
Does he have an odd number of people?
At the moment, he might. I went to look. I was looking to see him posting the matchups in the discussion board for the 500 BPV tournament, because that's what Jeff usually does. And what I was hoping is, you know, after things get started, because they haven't announced the fleets yet, they, at that point, you know, they were going to, I'm assuming Jeff is going to announce the actual fleets openly at that point. Because at that point, you really should, because all people have to do really to find out what fleets people are using is just find out when people are playing, and then you can find out who's playing what. So, but anyway, after the first round. He has announced, he said, give me the CEO's commander's options, for the first round, and after that, we'll announce everything. I just was looking at the discussion board. One thing that Justin, who had joined the game in his Fed, saying that basically he has to bow out because basically he didn't read the rules, is what it comes down to. Because he's telling, oh, yeah, including non-optional rules like combat Congo transfers, used in both my games last time. Whoops, sorry. And nerfing COs again, which is not what I thought was happening here. Because basically he didn't fully read the rules. This makes my force impossible to field as I lose about 40% of my drones, and not being able to transfer drones from ship to ship is just no words. I think I know, and it is a mistake that he was using that transferring using core rules, but they had removed that rule for the tournament, and he didn't realize that, which means basically he didn't really read the rules. And thank you for your time and effort, Jeff. I thought the point in the second race was to have standard SFB rules, 20% COs and shrug fight F5, 10 BV, not homebrew. Nerfing the number of MRS we can take is bad enough. Not allowing John Trost transfers is a serious nerf. I don't see that as a serious nerf myself. But so, given that, Jeff might be looking for another player.
Okay.
So what I might do is submit my Andromedan fleet, even though the big issue is I'd be fighting against the Gorns if I was to replace, because I would not want to fly Justin's Fed fleet. Though, in my mind, the Fed fleet they have was fine. And obviously, here's the thing. It comes obviously by reading this, which is I think Justin relies on transferring drones. Basically, sounds like what he did is that the drones that were for like the scout, like the reloads for the scout, he transferred them off the scout and moved them to another ship. So the ship had more drones.
Right.
Now, the one thing that I don't know if he, from the looks of it, he didn't do this because when I was playing him, I was shocked. And as I pointed out last time, many moons ago, when we were going over that game, is that I didn't see anything, no special drones come out really, other than the ECM drones that he had. I didn't see any other specialized drones. So,
Okay.
but in my mind, if
But you
he's
saw lots of them.
right,
Mm-hmm.
if he's relying on drone transfers to do what he wants to do, I'm sorry, that's a
He
hack.
doesn't.
You that
Well, like an exploit.
right, exactly. Because the big thing for me is, I would think that. I mean, okay. I'm thinking of in a real life scenario, quote unquote, real SFB, quote unquote, I don't think that's the way that the ships would be flown. That you'd be flying around in your fleet. You'd be transferring. Oh, you have extra drones. You don't need them, so we're going to transfer them to somebody else. No, I don't think that's the way you did it.
I think it's a rule that might be exploited in a sense for seeing how he did it, because that could turn any scout ship into a logistics ship, basically.
Right. And then excluding non-optional like cargo transfers, he used them both in both his games last time.
Well, that's probably what he was doing.
Right. So I was like, so in both cases,
It's basically allowing him to have more drones than he could have on his primary ships.
Right.
Because his secondary ship
didn't
really need them. And he just said, I'm going to give them all the extra ammo to these other ships.
Right. And not just extra ammo. In theory, you can also transfer some other, because normally when it comes to specialized drones, there are per ship basis. So that means, in theory, you could really
break the rule. Yeah. Break the intent of the rule. Basically.
Yep.
So
exactly. And it's like,
it's an unintended consequence.
Right.
A loophole that they didn't fix.
Agreed. And I think that is why that Jeff looked at it and went, no, you can't do that. But at least that'd be my guess why he set it up like that. But so there's a possibility. There's a possibility in for myself. So what I might do, definitely not tonight, because it's by the time we get done the podcast, it'll be too late to do that. Because you know me, and I have to get up. I'm gonna get up bright and early tomorrow morning. Gotta go to Bass. I will work on an Andromedan fleet. And as I pointed out last week, that Andromedan fleet would probably, I'm not sure if I'd go with the mothership or not. You know, definitely. I want a scout this time, because I realize I really hamstrung myself by not having a scout.
Okay, the only question I have for you about having a scout is, does having the scout really kind of make it for you?
Well, the big issue there is basically the big issue when it comes to the scout is the shifts. The shifts can just kill you. Especially if depending upon how close you want to get to his ships. Because the TR beams, you know, in theory you want to get within like range 3. But without a shift, you can get to range 5 and actually get some decent damage if you don't have a shift. Because if you shift out to range 6, or not shift to range shift, but you shift it, you won't do much damage out that range. And of course, remember they have phaser 2s and not phaser 1s.
Right. Too.
So that's why I feel like, because otherwise there's no way to fight any ECM he has, even if it does something as simple as a wild weasel.
Mm-hmm.
Other than of course killing the shuttles.
Yep. No, I get it. It's just a trade-off, that's all.
No, yeah, I know. I mean, it means less firepower, and I know how that is. Because as it is, you know, the one thing that is going to be interesting is that, of course, again, if I fly Andromedans, it will be another fleet battle where I have no seeking weapons. But in theory, and as I pointed out last week about this, in theory, the Andromeda should have good speed. I know they have at least one ship with the displacement device, which obviously in such a small fleet can work. It can work to do offensive displacements against your opponent. I'm just going to see if I can bring something up real quick for myself. Do, because it's made me think about that. Do that. Open. I want the Saltorians. I want the Andromedans. And where's my There's intruder. Yep, the intruder has two displacement devices. Okay, for those of you who want to see it. Oops. And that is, it's got the three TR heavies, got two displacement devices, of course has plenty of cargo, three hangars, nice eight boxes of battery. It's got like 30, one, two, three, four, five. Actually, has 32 warp. I did not realize that. Tell you how much I fly this. Four impulse. Got eight PAs in the front, six PAs in the back. And of course, it has an actual tractor beam. That which is always cool. I want to look at that eel. Here's the eel. Yeah, oh, definitely. This guy, which only has two special sensors, and it's definitely based off, you know, the four PAs in the front. Three PAs in the back. What's the core? Right, let me. What's the core look like? I forget. Core, there it is. Yeah. It's got two. This one's pathetic when it comes to being a scout. It's got two special sensors. Got four batteries. It's got two phaser twos. They changed it from the original Corey. Original Corey actually had like one phaser two and one tractor repulsor beam and two special sensors. It was kind of goofy. It's got one impulse. It's got a big whopping 12 warp. So a total of 17 power. Now it's only got a movement cost of 1/3. It's actually not too bad. What's the courier have? I mean, what's the eel have? Yeah, that's the Cobra. The other one was
should
the
be cracked.
Yeah, the courier was based off the Viper, and the eel's based off the Cobra. Because it has a total of 20 points of power, but mm-hmm. also a movement cost of a half. It has also two special sensors, two phaser twos. Same amount of batteries. So, in theory, that's the one thing about the eel is that you've got 20 points of power. And if you do the trick, which I don't think would be that great of an idea. Okay, properties. This is the BPV on this. Yeah, it's 92. The eel is 92 points. But, yeah. If you attach tractor the eel from the intruder gets kind of slow, but then the eel can use all its power for special sensors. You know, which is not bad. Though I think the eel this might be able to fly by itself. The courier, not so much. I don't think that, if you had the courier, no, I don't think. You'd want that flying around by itself because of it only has, as I said, like 13 power. And with 13 power, nah, you're not going to get much special sensors except for through batteries. And that's only going to last for how long? You know, it's insane. Okay, I think the other one was the big one, which I think is the Anaconda. There's the Asp. I don't see the Anaconda. Okay. I know that this one, that's a Mauler. The Elm. What's the Infestor? That is basically 258 points.
Okay.
Right, this is the one that has the Infestor is basically designed to be purely a mothership. It's got six hangar bays, no tractor repulsor beams at all, and eight phaser twos. Oh, it has. Oh, but it also has special sensors. So I think you would probably use. Can we say NWPs? Oh, that'd be interesting.
Well, remember, you can fire your phaser twos as phaser threes, right?
Right.
Not blind a channel.
Yep. Here's an NWP. Yeah. Has two phaser twos. And two batteries. Total six powered. Wow. I guess there was one of these suckers. What was it? Is it MCP? No, that's the cargo one. Don't mind.
I just had a random thought, Paul.
Go for it.
Okay, random off the wall thought. Building store. You remember like those old bedroom setups, like from the medieval times, where you had that enclosed bed thing. What about making a bunk bed type of thing, only the top part's not a bunk bed, it's just a big storage thing.
Oh.
And then having it modular so that it can come apart. Okay. And basically be transported without any problems and put together in a new place. What do you think about that for an idea? Because I was thinking about one of the places I looked at a few weeks ago that I don't really want to go into because it's so small. But I was also thinking that if I did do something like that place, doing something like that could like cut down on the storage space I need to have.
Right, right.
Maybe eliminate the possibility of needing a storage space too.
Yeah, the only thing you have to be careful with, of course, is weight. I mean, not weight of the device, of the thing. Weight of what?
Yeah, weight of what's stored. How much weight you can load bearing. Yeah, right. I know.
And make sure it doesn't bow because of the weight and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You could do
that. I was
that.
Just basically thinking of like overhead shelving, basically.
Right. Yeah, because you could basically make it a platform, and have it so that you have the legs, which you have bolts that you can bolt in. So you can take that apart. You can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if you just random. Even if you just have it as a platform where you can put like plastic containers.
Yeah, and it was just a random thought that I had, and I wanted to blurt it out so I might remember it later and actually draw up some plans for it. So.
I looked at the MTP, which is Andromeda Mobile Recovery Platform. Now here's the thing. It has two TR beam, two TL beams, TR light beams. It does take shock.
Here's a question: is there an Andromeda monitor?
No. There's an Anaconda.
It's just a random thought.
Understood.
What about a base? Would they let you have a base?
No. I don't think they. I know they wouldn't let me have a base. That'd be interesting, I think. What's that? Oh yeah, there it is. That's four. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the Mamba sized scout. The Anaconda, which is I mean, other than year in service was 178. It's 142 BPV. Pretty nice. Pretty nice ship. But also, that's a pretty expensive ship too. For 500 BPV overall, and around a third of it would be to your scout. That's no. And it also has it would have the one and only displacement device, which then it could bl would blind one of its special sensors if you ever used against and used period. So.
Well, it's a timing thing. I mean, if you're getting to the point of using that, you're probably going to be not caring about blinding those
Yeah.
things.
Oh, I tend to agree with that. How about a Terminator? Actually, I don't think I can. I think that's illegal according to the rules for the tournament.
No Maulers? Come on.
I know. Maybe for the Andromedans? Yeah. Hey, come on. Oh, that's the one. That's the one. The Shiva, Mothership Mauler.
Oh, good Lord.
Crap. Year in service is 185.
Oh, man,
I
darn.
know.
And conjectural, too, right?
It probably is conjectural.
Just
Okay.
saying, that would be my guess on that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you are right. That is conjectural. Because I'm looking at this and going, yeah, that would be kind of cool. Fly this sucker. I would love to fly just to see how it flew. Oh wow! Look at all those batteries, and it actually still has two hangers. Fun, that'd be fun, but no, sad, so sad. Well, anyway, I have to submit my. I have to check with Jeff first, obviously. But I'm not sure if Jeff saw the withdrawal of
That
Justin.
guy. Yeah.
Because he went,
Who
basically,
knows?
I can't do what the way I don't I can't have the fleet that I want to have and fly it and actually beat everyone because I'm taking advantage of those rules. Whoops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope people have a good time. As I pointed out in the news portion, actually one of the fleets is Vudar, which I think should be interesting, and that's actually playing against a Klingon. Bum, 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 bum. I still have it. Oh, I don't have it here. Bum, 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 bum. That's this one. There it is. Yeah, we got Liren versus Hydrin. That should be an awesome battle. We've got Vudar versus Klingon, Romulan versus Fed. Again, classic matchups. And then you have Gorn versus Fed, which is not classic, but it'd be overall it would be a good fight. Unfortunately, that's the one where it's supposed to be Justin, who just withdrew. So, I'll submit a fleet. And hopefully, it'll be accepted. Oh, one more. What the hell's that? Let me look at that. What the heck is that? Oh, why is it in there? Okay.
Why is what in there?
Oh, I got the Juggernaut All Alpha. Shipped in my Andromedan folder for some strange and unforeseen reason.
Okay. I have no idea.
I have no idea either. It's just like, why is it in there? I do not know. Exploiter? What's the 177? Okay. Exploiters are nice. Only 100, they're 192 a piece. They have four TRHs and two displacement devices. It's basically a Conquistador, but they upgraded it. It's, yeah, look at that. I got, also, I forget if that's a conjectural or not. Versus, what's the Conquistador? Conquistador, that would be this one, which has that. Okay, the Explorer, they got rid of the hangar bay. So it nerfed it as a mothership. Interesting. Gotta think about it. Anyway, okay. I think we've discussed the 500 BPP tournament and Andromedans. Of course, I could talk about Andromedans for forever. Yes, what is it, Aang?
Okay. I have some reminders for you. Oh, you've got a kitty cat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the video up right now, sorry. I'm on restricted mode for the internet.
For those of you, here is my little kitty. This is Aang. Say hi, Aang.
Hi,
everybody. Hi.
Okay.
Because that's in case y'all didn't know, I've got five cats. Aang is the latest, one of the latest additions. Aang is now fixed, so we won't have to worry about more kitties occurring. So out of the five cats, we've got one female and four males. So makes things interesting. Actually, the one Sokka is kind of aggressive. So I noticed that Zooks, who Sokka likes to play with, has a little bit of a scab on his cheek. Which means they were playing a little too rough. And I know there's a vet would fuss at me and go, hey, you need to go to, I think it's catfriendly.com or something like that. You know, so what to do. And my guess is part of that was it would say you have to play with cats more. It basically what it comes down to. Crap, I meant to do that. Don't worry. It reminds me of cats in a cat litter box. I have to remember to scoop out the ones upstairs. I did all the ones. I have three levels of cat litter boxes. I have one down the basement, one on this floor, and one on the upstairs in the bedroom. Actually, one in the two bedrooms, guest bedroom and in our bedroom. And we have five cats for four litter boxes, which in theory you're not supposed to have. You're supposed to have five litter boxes for five cats. Fourth looks fine. So,
what? Yeah, that's the crazy Catman starter kit there, is it? Yeah. Oh, wait, you're past that part.
Oh, yeah. It'll be interesting.
So, I have a couple of reminders for you.
Go for it.
One reminder is Gamers of Winter is coming up in 4 months or so. It always sneaks up on everyone because it's so close after Gamers of Summer.
Yep.
Relatively speaking.
And then we have all the regular holiday goings on.
On the holidays. Yeah. Well, we're President's Day weekend, 14, 15, 16. For those of you who see us on Facebook, on the Gamers of South Central PA group, I did post the event itself as a event. In that group, The picture for that is a small flyer meant to be printed out. You could use, if you want to print it out, you can use the picture function and print a whole bunch of them on one page, but it's meant to be printed small, like a 3x4 kind of size thing. It's not huge. And then as the group picture, we have the larger poster for the event. If anybody wants to print that out and like put it up at their local hobby shop, whatnot. For those of you on the East Coast, we're a fairly decent drive from the Baltimore area. From Baltimore, we're, you know, depending on where you're at in Baltimore, 45 minutes to an hour or two. If you're in Philly, it's a straight 90-minute drive from on the turnpike from Philly to Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Pittsburgh, New York, you're talking a nice multi-hour drive. But we're literally, like, probably the second most accessible area as far as the states go. Columbus, Ohio, where they have Origins. Origins chose that spot because it's accessible to so much of the East Coast and then the Midwest as well. So it's like literally the closest spot for like the larger portion of the United States. But as far as the East Coast goes, I mean, you know, you talk Virginia, if you're in Virginia, you're just a few hours away from us. We're in a nice hotel. There's some really inexpensive hotels nearby. I currently am staying at the Red Roof Inn while I'm going through the separation thing. And, you know, that's, you know, money-wise, it's like half to third of what it would cost just to stay at the hotel that we're at. The Red Lion Hotel is where we're hosting the event at. That's, you know, around $150-$170. We don't have any special blocked rate there, but we don't get that many people from outside of the area. We do have some people that come in from, you know, outside of the region.
Like Jersey.
Like Jersey and West Virginia. And I'm not sure if it's West Virginia or Northern Virginia, but and we do get that some, you know, but we've mostly been like the participants, our attendees are mostly from Dauphin County, York County, Cumberland County, some Lebanon and Lancaster. So basically the five.
And you get one from Berks.
Two, three, four. Yeah, you get like one from all the five and counties Berks around the hotel. We get several people from those. But so there's that. But we are accessible. We're even more accessible than the Council of Five Nations was. And, you know, I would love to see a bunch of SFB players come out and do their thing. Or even, you know, hey, you like F&E, and if you go to Origins to play F&E and you want to get that kind of a fix in February. Just get a bunch of friends together that want to do the same thing and come on in as a group. We've got plenty of space.
Yep.
And that's kind of basically that. So I need your schedule for that.
Yep.
If it would be nice. I think I may have left you up there as TBA.
Yep.
But, and then the other thing is you wanted to do some webcam stuff there. Maybe tomorrow sometime. Try and send me the specs again that we were talking about the other day.
Right, for just one of those ones for in, that camera. That...
Yeah, just send it to me in like Facebook Messenger or something.
Understood.
And yeah, we'll so I can work on that for you.
Oh, by the way, did you make sure that everything works on the website this time?
What do you mean?
Didn't you last time you had a broken link for like the for registering?
No. I was thinking what was the problem with it last time? I don't recall.
Okay.
I think there may have been.
Yeah. I think it'd be kind of a long drive. DFW, Dallas Fort Worth, it's a 20-hour drive. I mean, half, sorry. Forgive me. Hour drive.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a drive.
What, can we say road trip?
Hey, ADB used to go to Origins. So
you go. Oh yeah. Hey, come on, we would drive the 8 hour, you know, like 8 hours. I'll to
Columbus. Oh, you know what? You know, if you really want to think about it, we'd probably be actually a pretty cheap round trip on airfare from Dallas, Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a direct flight. Oh, there might not be a direct flight to Harrisburg. Might be, might not be.
Yeah,
it's weird. I don't have the site up right now, but they do have some different off the wall direct flights. Otherwise, probably have to go to Baltimore and catch another flight up or take a rental up.
But, right. Agreed.
Yeah, but we're not like soliciting people to say, hey, come in from San Francisco, just fly in. But on the other hand, it's also not a prime holiday weekend as far as flights go.
Mm-hmm. And hey, if you want to, you can make it part of a whole vacation in that make Gamers Winter. Like one day, Gamers Winter, maybe the next day you head out to like Gettysburg for some Civil War.
Fuck no. Not in February.
Why not?
Come on. Yeah, summertime, maybe. Hey, you know what? Labor Day weekend, that would be a good one for visiting Antietam. I mean, we're about equidistant for, I think, Antietam or Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, both of those fights happened because Lee wanted to go from Virginia to Harrisburg. It's just that he didn't quite make it the second time and got held up at Gettysburg with that unintended incident, shall we say. And then, but for Antietam, it was it was handed to McClellan on a silver platter because, I mean, they literally found a copy of orders that somebody lost. And he thought it was a trick. That's one of the apologist things. They thought it was a trick. But, you know, they ended up having that fight for the same reason they had Gettysburg. So, and from Harrisburg, it's, you know, it's a pretty straight shot down to Sharpsburg and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting battlefield. I kind of like it a little bit, visiting that one a little bit better than visiting Gettysburg. Because Gettysburg is really spread out and huge,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, not a bad thing, but you pretty much have to drive around significant parts of it. And then if you want to see it in like one day, but you can walk around a lot of that with minimal driving because it was like such a compact area where the battle was fought. Around Sharpsburg.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if you come up out of town in for the Labor Day weekend, that would be a good one for scheduling, you know, a day or two ahead of time and a day or two afterwards to visit those two different battlefields.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely recommend something like that if you were going to take a vacation and wanted to see some battlefields. And then, you know, come in from the heat in the nice air-conditioned convention and chill out for a couple days and then head out to the battlefields again and head for home, you know, or mm-hmm. wherever. So, but not in the February, for crying out loud. that well, it depends. Like,
if you don't like the heat.
It's not like it was Stalingrad or something.
Understood.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, Doug, I did while we were talking about it, I brought up Facebook and I brought up your page and have so that people actually could see it.
Yay. Hooray. Paul's going to do some podcasting there, and I was thinking it would be really sweet if we had like a big minis fight of some kind, you know. And I've always thought maybe it would be like one of those events that you don't necessarily see on a weekend. If, you know, we had like there was a group down in Baltimore that did what the heck was it? The Lone Gray Wolf mini campaign.
Oh, okay.
As a weekend event. You know, that's something I've pushed for ages, but it's like, hey guys, if you're listening to the podcast and you love SFB and you like playing it in person, our event would be perfect for you guys. You know, it'd be slightly better than like the, local game shop experience, I would say, because you've got that extra day of the event on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the place open for 14 hours a day, roughly, as opposed to like, hey, our hours are noon to eight. No, we're there at 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. That's our opening time. We close to midnight. It's midnight-ish. And then Monday is the slow day where we open at 10 a.m. and we're usually out of there in the very early evening. Because for the most part, the Monday holidays, whether it's been Labor Day or President's Day or Martin Luther King weekend that we used to do, it has always been the slow day.
Mm-hmm. So, true. Very true.
So there's that. Other than that, I don't have a lot else to pitch on that stuff. Mm-hmm.
What are you doing, goofball?
But yeah.
Ow. Are you going to come up here? Is that what you want to do? He's sharpening his claws on my leg, and that's why I'm going ow.
Aww, that's so cute.
So cute, yeah, so cute.
You should be encouraging him. That's how they survive.
Mm-hmm. Actually, looking at the ramen and chips, it went really quick. Mm-hmm. I cook it just one chip and just get a Dominator. It's 457 points.
And just go in and see what you can trash.
Yeah. The problem is it only has four TRHs. They actually have one, which I looked at and was like, oh, I wish I could have that. But the problem is the year. The year is 188. There's a Dominatrix, which is beautiful. It's gorgeous. Let me just bring it up real quick. Dominatrix. Dominatrix has 8 TR heavies. 4 displacement devices. It's got, of course, 8 plus 5 is 13. 13, sorry. 15 phaser 2s. You know, and they could fly around and then do some damage. Lead. Problem is also, it's also 507 points. So it's like,
oh, man.
It's over 500 BPV. It's like, dang it. Dang it, that would be a cool, like, can I get an exception and just get one ship and just fly around and dominate you and let see if people can beat the crap out of me? Now the problem is, of course, they would have no scout. Actually, okay, the courier. Let me just look at this real quick. Sorry, I got it, and that's going to be crap. 70 BPV. So, the problem is with the Dominator, it's 457 points for just the Dominator. Doesn't have as many TR heavies that you really want. And if you want the courier, that's too much, because it's over 520 points. So it's like, It's 527 if you want exact. So I was like, nope, can't do that. Of course, the main target would be the courier in that case. Anyhow, sorry. Went down that rabbit hole again. But hey, you were discussing the like towards the end. There's like, I wonder how much that is. Well, I know exactly what it is now.
Yep. Yep. There you go.
Yeah. As I said, that I think the investor, that one actually. I think that Infestor. Is that the one? Okay, that's the one with no TRs. But it has, okay, that's it. The Infestor is the one that has no TRs, but has more hangar space than the Intruder. That's what it is. And we have the Instigator. That's the one that has the same, has, replaces two of the, sorry, yeah, two of the TR heavies with four TR lights. Why you'd ever do this? I don't know. Actually, forget that. I know why you would do this. You would do that if you want it to be more survivable when it comes to your TR beams. And obviously, if you want to, also the one benefit is you have more tractor beams too. Because you can use TR beams as tractor beams. So that would be a benefit for having the TRLs versus the TR heavies. And obviously, the one thing about bad thing about the TRLs is that I looked at overall, and basically the amount of damage that can be done is less with TRLs, and it costs a little bit more because they're two per TRLs, while the TR heavies are TR3, so two TRLs, which will do approximately the same damage, a little less than the TR heavies, that it will cost 4 points of power. So that's the bad thing about that. Okay, the last one was the Imposer. What the Imposer was. Okay, that's the one that's has. Oh yeah, what's the problem? Yeah, I got to check to see if that's congestural. Because the beautiful thing with the Imposer, it's got five TR heavies. Now the problem is it has one hangar space, but it has two displacement devices, so it could fly around quite well and beat things up. And that's what is that point wise? That's 285. And supposedly the year in service is 175, so it would fit. Anyhow. Actually, I think with that we'll wrap it up for this evening. Because I don't think we have any more topics to go over. So I'll wrap it up now. Doug, it's been a pleasure having you on. And a pleasure always to talk to you.
Well, thank you for having me on, Paul. It's awesome. You're welcome. Always happy to be here.
And always glad to have you here. Have a good night.
Mm-hmm. You too.
Yeah, I gotta understand that. So I went to the score and they say, hey, use passkeys. So with that, we're gonna wrap it up. Talked about, of course, the 500 BVB tournament and my Andromedans again. Sorry for those of you who are like, why did you talk about them again? Well, actually, that I also talked about Justin pulling out, and hopefully that gives me an opportunity. That might have an opportunity to have that fleet and submit it to Jeff and go, hey, can I replace him? Can I replace him? Ha, 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 ha. Possibly. And of course, that lovely and wonderful thing, which is Gamers of Winter, is coming in February. And I will be there. I'll be streaming live. So anyone who follows me on Twitch, you will see those demos or games, depending upon what happens. And we'll have them done live at Gamers of Winter. We will hopefully the camera angles will be improved. We've learned from what last year, and hopefully it will all stream beautifully. So, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night. Quit. Goodbye. Ooh. Scary person. Okay. How would you add a passkey when you log in to the client? That's weird. I'd like to know how you do that. Anyway. What? No, cat. Okay, I'm gonna move that. Here, if there's buzzing. Hold on. Two things. One, stop.